This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The Mississippi River is vital to the upper Midwest. People flock to the river to go boating or fishing. Farmers rely on the waterway to move grain downstream. Birds and other wildlife count on the river's habitat to provide food and shelter. There are many issues facing the Mississippi River today, ranging from infrastructure improvements to stronger environmental protections. So not surprisingly, there are currently a number of public, private, and governmental groups working to make these issues a national priority. For example, two bipartisan congressional caucuses were recently formed to focus on the Mississippi River. One, the Mississippi River Valley and Tributaries Caucus. The other, the Mississippi River Caucus, which is co-chaired by Wisconsin Representative Ron Kind and Minnesota Representative Tim Walz. Congressman Ron Kind, who's been involved in other Mississippi River-related groups in Washington since the mid-1990s, says he's encouraged by what this new caucus aims to do.
It's a bicameral approach, both the House and the Senate. And on the House side, when I first got elected, I immediately formed a bipartisan Mississippi River caucus, you know, especially for members up and down the river and within the watershed area, because we have a lot of commonality of interest, and it is one large ecosystem, too. So we should approach it from that perspective. We're reconstituting that group. I will be co-chairing it on the House side, and the senators are trying to form their own bipartisan group on the Senate side.
Because that didn't exist before?
It didn't exist. Okay. The Senate hasn't had one. And I reached out to many of them and said, hey, if we're doing it on the House, it'd be nice if you guys put together a working group that we can coordinate our action on. I mean, the Mississippi is an incredibly vital natural resource. It's right through the heart of America. It affects everything west of the Appalachians and east of the Rockies. So a majority of the states are within the watershed area itself. It's a multiple-use resource from commercial navigation to tourism to recreation. And I think we're facing some challenges as far as our infrastructure disrepair of the lock and dam system that needs attention and the commercial navigation that depends on that system to the drought conditions and the low water levels that we're experiencing right now to maintaining it as a viable ecosystem for the wildlife and the outdoor and tourism industry that depends on it. So it's an important part of our local economy as it is the regional economy. And it deserves more attention in Congress, and that's what I'm hoping these caucuses will bring. More coordination, more focus, and therefore hopefully some good solutions as we move forward.
Because it does seem like, you know, when we look at issues going on regarding the river, Minnesota seems to have a lot of great efforts going on. Pockets of Wisconsin do. I mean, when you look at people who work for the DNR,
right.
People in the Fish and Wildlife Service based in the La Crosse area.
The Driftless Area Initiative, too.
Right,
the Driftless Area. Public-private partnership. That's been fantastic.
But it does seem like there is sort of this lack of support coming from Wisconsin. I mean, you've been involved, and maybe it's just because your district is the only one that touches the river, but...
Well, there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, my congressional district has more miles along the Mississippi than any other one in the nation, and... But nevertheless, I've always viewed it as not just the main stem, but the watershed area. So all the rivers and tributaries that flow in, which is virtually half of Wisconsin, is within that watershed area. And it's true in the other states as well. And yet it's got to be a coordinated public-private approach from state and local officials to private entities too. And we have great participation from outdoor recreation groups. I mean, Trout Unlimited is the lead with the Driftless Area Initiative themselves. So they do a lot of that coordination back home. But that's what it's going to take in order to have success, is a real partnership at all levels and a real interest. And if we can try to revive some of that up and down the river through this caucus and keep it bipartisan, because it should not be a partisan issue, then hopefully we'll have greater attention.
Do you have any hopes or ideas just with this new Senate caucus on issues that you want to tackle in the next year?
Well, yeah. You know, I've had this Mississippi River Protection Bill that I've been trying to get enacted. We've passed it out of the House a couple of times only to see it die in the Senate because of, I think, lack of attention and focus. But this would do a better job of monitoring sediment and nutrient flows, which is the number one threat to the entire ecosystem. The quality water that we expect and should enjoy is in jeopardy unless we put good programs in place. And that all starts with getting the science in place. And that's what my legislation would do. It would put USGS, the lead agency, in charge of monitoring with substations up and down the river so we can start identifying the hot spots and then know where we need to concentrate the limited resources that are available to intercept those sediments and nutrients before they have a chance of entering the system and doing the damage that they do. And so I think if you can get the good science in place, you can get the buy-in then from the community. But if you're just doing this willy-nilly, it's awfully tough to get the cooperation from everyone else.
U.S. Congressman Ron Kind, co-chair of the new Mississippi River Caucus, a bipartisan congressional group working to bring issues affecting the river to the forefront. Wisconsin Senators Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin have not yet joined the caucus, but their spokespeople say both are considering membership. The Mississippi River Caucus was formed with hopes of gathering more support for river issues. But with hundreds of caucuses in the House and Senate, how much influence can one caucus have? UW La Crosse political scientist Joe Heim joins us with his insights. A caucus like this, he says, creates an opportunity for lawmakers to share their common interests.
The interest could be all sorts of things. Could be a policy issue of some kind, say environmental. Could be ideological, say a group of Democratic conservatives or Democratic liberals or gay congressmen, for example. Could be policy related, as I said, but and it could be regional. And in this case, it's a regional interest that congressmen and senators that are touch the upper Mississippi are interested in issues that affect the Mississippi. So it's these caucuses are interesting because they try to tie in common interest to people and hopefully put together a coalition that has sufficient clout that something could actually be done to support or be in favor of whatever their cause happens to be.
Is it more like a support group, or do they get things done?
It's pretty much a support group, in my opinion. But they do occasionally propose legislation that can pass, frankly. You know, if there's enough people supporting something and there's not a lot of objections to it. The problem is, in most cases, none of these caucuses tend to be majorities. In other words, large enough groups that they can by themselves pass something. They need allies out there from in both houses to get something done.
When Congressman Kind visited our studios last week, he said that he was at least hopeful that some senators were joining this Mississippi River Caucus because he feels like legislation will get through the House regarding the river, but then it stops in the Senate, and he thinks that a lot of it comes down to education and that a lot of senators weren't as educated on river topics as they should be.
I think there's some truth in that because the fact that they haven't really joined much in the past is an indication that to be blunt, their interest stops at the boundaries of the states. So they have not, you know, the Mississippi River technically it touches their state, but isn't necessarily a primary interest. You know, if a river was going right through the middle of a state, I would suspect the senators would be a little more interested in it.
Just because it's affecting more people?
Yeah, it affects more people, and it's more prominent. Mississippi probably, to me, I mean, because we live on the Mississippi, that is a pretty significant issue, what happens to it. But if you're living in Milwaukee or Madison, it's probably much less interesting.
Do you think that, you know, legislation regarding funding for locks and dams or, you know, taxes on river shipping, I mean, do you look at any of these issues and do you see any of these issues actually coming up within Congress this year?
Boy, given the state of Congress, I would think almost anything of this sort is going to be difficult to pass through. The Senate and the House are so disjointed these days in terms of things like budgets and deadlines for cliffs and that type of stuff that issues that are more peripheral just are going to have a difficult time getting things done. Congress has not been particularly active in passing legislation over the last 2 years.
Let alone anything regarding the Mississippi River.
Yeah, they seem to be much more focused on financial issues, ideological fights, and budgetary issues, obviously, as you know, debt ceilings and those things are all of high significance. So other things tend to kind of get passed on the wayside because they don't have sufficient broad support in either house.
So even if there is a caucus that forms and maybe gets stronger because there are senators involved now, it might not make a difference in the long run?
Not a lot. Not this year, at least not the next year or two. It just seems like Congress has been so dysfunctional and so focused on other things that this type of area, which while may have fairly broad impact in the Midwest, just doesn't have a national significance relative to the other kind of issues we're talking about. It's unfortunate. Congress just hasn't been focusing on regional issues to any great degree. I think you have to have congressmen and senators supporting you to get any of this kind of stuff done. And generally, it has to be something which is non-controversial at this stage. You can get things done if it's non-controversial, if people generally feel it's a good idea. You know, there's a lot of economic interest in the Mississippi River as well as environmental. And so it's not just it's not just water. It's got broader interest, but whether it has rises to the level of interest of people, say, in Florida or California or the East, it just remains to be seen. I guess I'm not as hopeful.
UW La Crosse political scientist Joe Heim helping us understand the role caucuses play in Congress, including new ones focusing on the Mississippi River. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. There's a new diverse coalition of mayors, hailing from small towns and major cities, who have one major thing in common. They all live on the Mississippi River. These 45 mayors are working together to demand more action in Washington. The Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative was formed after the Walton Family Foundation, that's the family that owns Walmart, donated $250,000 to create the group. This initiative encouraged the members of Congress to form the Mississippi River Caucus. The Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative is run by an economic and environmental research group based in Washington that has a history of working with congressional Mississippi River task forces. Prescott, Wisconsin Mayor Mark Huber is one of three Wisconsin mayors to join the initiative. Prairie du Chien and La Crosse are also members.
Life goes on, and we're all busy here in the Midwest, and we have a lot of things to focus on in our local communities. After maybe the globalization occurred and we found that our competition isn't our neighboring community or our neighboring state, instead it's other parts of the world, did we figure out that it's better to collaborate, partner, and cooperate instead of compete with one another. So we find we have a stronger voice and we're more likely to be heard in Washington and in our individual states if we work together on common goals and we raise up issues that we feel are important to us and we work on outcomes that are going to be constructive for all of us.
So what are some of the issues that you want people in Washington to hear you out on?
Of course, everybody's working on economic prosperity, and that's true for our river communities as well. Sustainability of our rivers and our natural beauty our towns and cities are located in are the primary three focus points for us. But more than that, we would like to see our collective effort result in improvement of the water quality and maybe improve the habitat or restore the habitat along the rivers. We'd like to promote recreation and use of our areas. We'd like to celebrate the culture and the history that we have. The Mississippi River is really the second biggest draw, tourist-wise, in the United States. And working together, tourism is a nice, green, clean industry to promote and develop. So it would benefit the residents that live in our communities, and it would also be of interest to those who come some distance to see the nation's greatest river and its natural beauty that it has to offer.
Have you gotten a new perspective on the river now that you've been in this group, especially when, you know, those of us that live in Wisconsin or Minnesota, you know, there's a lot of focus on the upper Mississippi River because we live here. But just in your time that you've been involved in the group, are you thinking more about what's actually happening downstream, or has that always been a part of your thought process and your consciousness?
No, it hasn't always been part of our thought process and our social consciousness. And that's where our citizenship can be improved upon, and we can work together here locally to make life of higher quality down the river as well. And that's another important reason, as you highlight, for us joining this group, and what we do makes a difference to others. So we are custodians and we're citizens of this collective group, and we have to behave responsibly.
Are you hopeful that other mayors on the Wisconsin side, but maybe even on the Minnesota side too, will join the group, or does it not make a difference?
Oh, it makes a big difference. You know, in the 10 states, we could probably double our numbers from about 40 mayors and communities in this initial collection of folks working together. And, you know, when it comes to trying to influence people in Washington, D.C., you need all the help you can get. And there is nothing better than letters from voting members of elected representatives, their constituents, to drive the point home and to get their attention and help them work in common with others up and down the 10 states to promote some of the key objectives that we have. And as you know, there's not a lot of representation based on population in our geographic area of interest here. So unless we align our interests, we wouldn't have much of a voice. And we're grateful to the Walton Family Foundation for funding the initiative and bringing to all of our attention the fact that dramatic improvements could be made if we work together with the Northeast Midwest Institute on our collective goals and objectives here.
Are you hopeful that Washington will hear or will listen to issues regarding the Mississippi River? This Mississippi River Caucus was formed in Congress this year, and I know they're still recruiting different members. And some say that that could help push through issues regarding the Mississippi River, but you and I have both seen things that have been going on in Congress. Not many issues have gotten through unless they're ideological or economic-based. So are you hopeful that maybe things will be heard out in Washington?
Well, the Walton Family Foundation did a good job in picking an apolitical group in Washington, D.C., who, as lobbyists, focus on environmental issues and key initiatives that best represent our area without political divisiveness. In a way, they did pick four from the House of Representatives, co-chair Ron Kind from Wisconsin, and Tim Walz, Democrat of Minnesota, Stephen Fichtner, from a Republican from Tennessee, and Rick Crawford from Arkansas, and he's a Republican. So two Democrats, two Republicans from the House, and they picked two senators, Tom Harkin, Democrat from Iowa, and Roy Blunt, Republican from Missouri. So this group of six is well-balanced and well-representing our area, our interests, all the interested parties here up and down the Mississippi River. And they've accepted appointment as members of our caucus for this special interest.
But what would you tell them on behalf of the people of Prescott, Wisconsin, on behalf of the people of Western Wisconsin?
We need a lot of infrastructure renewal up and down the river, whether it's improving the waterways so that barge traffic can pass safely up and down the river for the benefit of economic development and commerce, or it's septic systems that need improvement so that they do a better job of protecting people downstream. or it's boat launch sites, or it's fishing access to the rivers. All of those things improve the healthier aquatic environment and make river economies work better. And so the local impact will be, hopefully, improving the quality of the water, improve the economics of our local community, and opening our community up to many others from the surrounding states to come here and enjoy the things they value in life when they're on holiday, when they're on vacation.
Or even when they're just living here.
Well, that too. You know, we have to remind folks who have lived in our local communities over and over again that we have something special that's worth preserving and working on even improving sustainability here. And, of course, that's done at a cost. It takes money in our local municipal town cities budgets to do the right thing right. You know, the message is that we have to retain the value for the longer term. And when we make decisions, sometimes it costs a little more for us in the immediate to preserve the benefit for those who come after us.
Mark Huber is the mayor of Prescott, Wisconsin, and is one of the members of the new Mississippi River Cities and Towns Initiative. It's a group of 45 mayors from 10 states that's pushing lawmakers in Washington to focus on issues that affect the river. Huber will be heading to D.C. in a couple weeks to meet with the other mayors and members of the Mississippi River Caucus. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Two specific interest areas that surface when talking about the Mississippi River are commerce and the environment. This past year, there were more than a few issues with shipping on the Mississippi River. Low water levels, lock failures, and rock pinnacles all slowed towboats and barges at many points along the river. Although these issues occurred downstream from Wisconsin, it still affects movement of commodities that originate here. Shipping industry officials have been pushing for lawmakers to update the Mississippi's navigation system. Mike Tuohy is president and CEO of Waterways Council, an organization that advocates for a navigable inland water system. He says the formation of the Mississippi River Caucus was a positive move.
Well, we see a moment in time aligning just right. The Environment and Public Works Committee in the Senate has announced that they're going to move a water resource development authorization bill, and their counterpart committee in the House, the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, has made the WRDA bill, Water Resource Development Authorization, its number one priority. And so we, of course, have been advocating for a few years now the need for a WRDA bill that includes a capital development plan that has been jointly developed by the Corps of Engineers, best and brightest minds, working with the Inland Waterway User Board, which is a group of stakeholders, and which seek to complete 25 new projects to complete the ecosystem restoration program authorized in 2007 for the Upper Mississippi. And so the Capital Development Plan, or as it's known in the Senate, the River Act by Senator Casey, Klobuchar, and Landrieu, would achieve all of these goals. And so we're hopeful that the River Act will become part of the WRDA bill and become law in this session of Congress, the first session in 2013.
Are there other issues that you're not feeling as hopeful that they'll get through, but that you would like to see addressed maybe in the next couple years?
Well, we saw the importance of the inland waterway system to the economy be brought to the national consciousness front and center during December and January, when there was low water on the middle Mississippi and $7 billion of economic activity was threatened by the effective shutdown of the Mississippi River. Fortunately, that did not occur through the good work of the Corps of Engineers and their ability to remove some rock pinnacles. But a great part of that conversation was whether Missouri River water, which is stored behind reservoirs, could be made available in times of emergency for navigation on the Mississippi River. And the Corps informed us that that was not going to happen as long as they were in charge of the Missouri River. And so I think a lot of our members would like to see a conversation about that. It's a very controversial issue because the upstream states want the water for recreation, and there's not enough water for all the project purposes. Originally, it was for irrigation, flood control, and navigation, but Now navigation suffers as the project purposes have been expanded to include 8 activities now.
So with these two examples, how could something like a Mississippi River Caucus help those issues go through?
They can provide the forum for discussion and suggested resolution, and then members can take that conversation and recommendations to their colleagues for action on the committees of jurisdiction. And also it uses the forums are a mechanism to express support for what the committees are doing, build consensus from all the stakeholders that are involved in a water resource development bill, and try to hammer out some consensus opinions to help facilitate the job of those that are tasked with writing the legislation, which is very, very difficult.
So have there been instances in the past when you feel like river legislation or maybe issues relating to the Mississippi River were successful because of the caucus?
Not yet. I think it's too soon to really articulate on that. The last time we had a WRDA bill was 2007, and so this will be really probably the first opportunity to be impactful.
Mike, is there anything else you want to talk about in regards to this Mississippi River Caucus or any other issues that are on your radar at this point?
Well, I think the most effective way to reach an outcome is to work cooperatively together, to bring all the stakeholders together. Not everyone's going to always get what they want, but we get a majority of it, and we keep working through different legislative iterations to get to a greater goal. But the ability to come together and work out compromises is essential, especially in the environment we're operating in, when money is difficult to get. Federal funds are hard to reach these priority issues when they compete with so many other programs. And so an effective bipartisan coalition made up of a broad range of stakeholders will win. But if we all go back to our narrow interest and our silos, we'll never get anything achieved. And so that's why I find the proposition of these caucuses very, very exciting.
Mike Tuohy is president and CEO of Waterways Council, an organization that advocates for a navigable inland water system. While the shipping industry has economic and commerce concerns when it comes to federal investment in the Mississippi River, there are other groups trying to encourage Congress to protect and improve the environmental habitat. The Mississippi River Network represents 42 organizations that work on environmental protection for the land, water, and people of the river. The group is managed by the Chicago-based Biodiversity Project. Policy manager Claudia Emkin says an increased focus on the Mississippi River in Washington could make a difference here as well.
Having a bicameral representation for the Mississippi River means that if things go in the House, there's somebody there in the Senate that's going to pick it up and see it as an important issue as well.
What sort of difference do you think it will make having this Mississippi River caucus and then even this other tributary-focused caucus?
Well, I think as organizations and agencies are working on issues like the Farm Bill, like water quality issues, like reducing the nitrogen and phosphorus in any of the rivers that eventually feed into the Gulf of Mexico, that we have champions that are ready to carry that water and really stand up for that as different bills, whether it's the Water Resources Development Act, Clean Water Act, Farm Bill, all of those, the expectations certainly from the constituency and the organizations that work on river issues, the expectation will be that these are self-identified champions we can go to and they can help us with these legislative ideas and initiatives.
So you mentioned a couple issues, but what are some pieces, either pieces of legislation or just even ideas that you would like to see get through to members of Congress regarding the Mississippi River?
Well, we certainly, the Farm Bill conservation program that helped reduce the nitrogen and phosphorus runoff is something that the Mississippi River Network cares a lot about and that we want to see programs funded within the Farm Bill that help with reducing those outputs from farm applications. But certainly there are other things that impact it. It's not just agriculture that's putting nitrogen in the waters. And then in the Corps of Engineers authority through the Water Resources Development Act, looking at how to manage the river as a system, not just individual projects scattered throughout the region or even throughout the watershed, but that they're all managed with the bigger picture in mind, that the Mississippi River is truly a landscape-scale project. And what are we doing that impacts this, that impacts that kind of that web of life, if you will, that you pull one string and everything is connected to it. So that's important. And then, of course, having the federal agencies looking at their planning for water resource projects and looking at natural infrastructure as a legitimate and beneficial option. We don't always have to build something concrete to hold the water, but if you have wetland restorations, things that are more of a natural state that absorb these floodwaters and help the river touch its floodplain, the river will be healthier, and we really want to see a healthy river, not only for the river's sake, but for each one of us. There's how many millions of people that have the Mississippi River as its drinking water supply. So we want good quality water for that. But we also need the fish and wildlife habitat.
So do you think that, I mean, as you said before, these groups could help really educate different members of Congress?
Well, I would certainly hope so, yes, that we at the Mississippi River Network really feel like, you know, now is the time for the Mississippi River. We just last fall in September, the mayors along the main stem of the Mississippi River organized themselves into an organization that they are now actively working to promote their policy agenda. And one of their efforts was to work with members of Congress in the 10 states that they all represent or their cities are within. And so you've got the mayors that have organized. You now have two caucuses in Congress organized around the river. Of course, our network, but there's many other organizations that are working on the Mississippi River and have used it. The Nature Conservancy's Great Rivers Partnership, not only is the Mississippi, but rivers around the world as part of that partnership. So we really feel like the Mississippi River is coming into its own now. And so, yes, we do think that these are definitely opportunities to educate and realize the importance of the river.
Do you think that the existing Mississippi River caucuses in the past have been successful, or do you think maybe now this time around they'll have more clout to get more legislation through?
I don't know enough about the past efforts to say what happened. You know, they when they first formed, it was focused on the upper Mississippi River, and I think recognition is that we need to be looking at the entire Mississippi. And I think a lot of the emphasis on the Gulf and some of the problems that have happened down in the Gulf of Mexico with the oil spill. But I think people are now understanding that what happens up river really does impact what's going on down there, and they're having a lot of problems that if some of the wetlands had been in place, if there had been a different makeup in the natural systems down there, that perhaps the damage wouldn't have been as bad as it was. Or the flooding, you know, certainly the climatic conditions in recent years have also put the Mississippi River in people's minds. You know, first with the drought and then the floods, then, you know, that whole cycle has also caused people to think about the river a little bit more.
Claudia Emkin is the policy manager with the Biodiversity Project, which runs the Mississippi River Network. Links to the Mississippi River Caucus and other organizations we've heard from can be found on our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. Coming up next, we'll hear from Wisconsin's Department of Revenue Secretary about Governor Scott Walker's proposed budget. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse.